pray, and we'll get into the Word a little bit this morning. Father, just really grateful that we can gather to worship you. And Lord, I'm grateful for worship this morning and the job that Steve and the team did to just get us in front of you, to create opportunity for your Spirit to minister to us and to touch us. And God, we're here saying we need a touch. We need wisdom. We need information that gives us intellect and the ability to discern what you're saying and doing in our lives. So we invite you right now to teach us. And I pray, God, that you'd anoint me to speak clearly, that all that we do would bring glory to Jesus, but it would also transform us and make us more like him. So lead us right now this time as we look at the Word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 5. As you know, we're going through a study in the Beatitudes, and really this is driven out of this idea, what should be our attitudes as Christians? Like the kingdom of God, you guys all know this, it operates in opposite spirit. You all aware of that?
Yes.
Help me out. I got one person who's aware about that. What about the rest of you? You guys know that the kingdom of God operates in opposite spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That means what we think is right and what God thinks is right are often very different things. What we would do humanly speaking and what Jesus calls us to do as Christians are sometimes like night and day. And last week we talked about that some. We started to open up this idea of being poor in spirit, like being lowly. Really what poor in spirit means is this, that we're declaring that we need who? We need God. We can't do life alone, that we're called to live in a way that we're surrendered to him and inviting his possibility. You know, listen, I got to be honest with you. This study is whooping on me. I'm just being straight up with you. Like I'm studying. I'm like, man, I said in the Wednesday night group, I'm like, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I swear. Because as I studied, I'm really looking at it thinking, man, I'm so self-reliant and I'm so self-dependent and I'm so selfish. There's a lot of self in me. Anybody, am I talking to anybody right now? And I'm realizing that, man, journeying with Jesus is not about being in control. It's about being surrendered. It's about doing life his way. It's about doing things the way that he calls us to do them. And the greatest challenge, one of the greatest challenges is that we as people, we're just selfish. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Even though the Bible says not to, we do. And my favorite way to prove this to you, if I show you a picture right now, who's the first person you look for? Yourself. And if I show up with the vacation that you didn't go on and I start showing you pictures, do you get bored pretty quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, well, that wasn't there. It's not all that good. It really wasn't. See, because we all want to be part of the show. That's just how people are wired. Well, what Jesus is doing in the Beatitudes is he's trying to teach us an alternate way of living. He's trying to teach us to live from a spiritual lens, not a natural one. He's trying to teach us that the way to victory, spiritual victory, is to think spiritually. See, when we try to live out our lives naturally and we're children of God who are spiritual, we get into trouble, don't we? Come on, am I talking to anybody right now?
Yeah.
We make natural decisions on spiritual things and God says, no, you know, you remember from last week, I said, man, the people of God, they were under Roman rule. Rome was very tyrannical. They were oppressive. They were dominant. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't try to establish a kingdom by fighting them, because all kingdoms, generally speaking, are established through what? War. Combat, battle. And Jesus is saying, no, be poor in spirit, be low, be meek, consider other people. And you're like, no, that's how most of us think, right? Okay, that's, no one's honest right now. Don't we all mostly think that way? We don't necessarily think automatically in a spiritual lens. Often we think in a dominance, we think as humans, and Jesus is teaching, saying, hey, I want you to think differently than the way you're thinking about this. See, and just a quick verse for you, when you're thinking about the kingdom of God, Jesus said this in Luke 17. He said, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was going to come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst, which is literally this. The kingdom of God is inside of you. So what Jesus is trying to do is teach us, how do we let it out? Now, a lot of times we let our own kingdom out, don't we? Help me, church. We get mad, we do dumb things, and then God's like, geez, you had the opportunity. But when we let it lead from the Spirit, we'll see spiritual things come forth from our lives. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach. So listen, last week we covered the first two Beatitudes. Oh, that was terrible. I dribbled all over myself. My voice is going. That's why I'm trying to drink water. I apologize. Okay, so Romans chapter 5. Let's start reading. I'll start breaking it down for you. Matthew, pardon me. I looked at Romans in my notes. I apologize. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. I'll slow down a little. I think I had too much coffee this morning. Just saying. Okay, so verse 1. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples called to him. He opened his mouth and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, literally those who are in need of God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when you lean into God, you receive the release of heaven. That's what the blessing is. Then he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. And mourning's an important component of how we live out our lives. Like, we often don't think this way. See, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God is entered into by those who are totally dependent upon him. We don't get it when we try to take control. I mean, you guys are good control people. I'm a control nun, control freak. I want everything under control. And God says, you don't get to control it. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. Watch, I'll prove it to you. Tell yourself to stop breathing right now. You'll turn blue in the face in about 30 seconds, and then what'll happen? Because you don't even have control of your own life. You really don't. And we lose sight of that. And he's saying, listen, you have to be totally dependent on me. And mourning and comfort, they go hand in hand. Listen, I thought of this illustration this morning when I was just going back through my notes and praying. You know, we're like, if you were to use this analogy, we're like a balloon. And our emotions are like the air that blows up a balloon. Well, if you put too much air in a balloon, what happens? It pops. That's the way it is. When we don't let our emotions out, and we compartmentalize them like a balloon, we actually end up blowing up. And he's saying, listen, I want you to actually mourn. I want you, this is a kingdom value. You should feel the loss of, like I shared this with you, I'm sorry. I'm gonna try to stay to my notes, but I'm not seeing that happening this morning. Listen, when we look around our culture and we see the degrade of spirituality, of morality, that should break our hearts as believers. Yeah. Really should. We should look and think, is everything supposed to be, you know, upside down, that right is wrong and wrong is right, all that sort of stuff? That should break our hearts. We should see those things and be concerned, if not for ourselves, for our children and our future grandchildren. We should be concerned because the generations will be impacted by that. And when we don't live in a way that we are actually dependent on God, or we don't try to live out this principle like mourning and being receiving comfort from God, we can really get stuck. And the Beatitudes are all about this. How do you live in such a way that is kingdom-minded, opposite spirit, gracious, when instead of humanly speaking and all the natural stuff we do? So this morning we're going to talk about this. Verse 5 of Matthew, it says, blessed are the gentle. In some of your Bibles it'll say the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, meek, I remember when I was in Bible college, I went to Calvary Chapel when it was in Twin Peaks before they moved down to Murrieta. And I remember when I was in Bible college, one of the professors said, when you think of the word meek, think like this, me-ick. And I thought, that's a pretty good way to explain it. Meek means this, that you don't put yourself first. It means that you don't think of yourself too highly. It means that you don't put yourself at the top of the heap. It means that you put yourself actually at the bottom. It doesn't mean that you misthink of yourself. It means this, that you don't promote yourself. Let God promote you, that you don't stand up, that you stay low. Meekness is this, it's mildness, gentleness of spirit, humility. It's those kind of characteristics that you see. Now watch, in America we struggle with this, because if your kid doesn't get fair treatment in school, what do? Oh, we go crazy, don't we? I'm serious. I see some stuff come out of parents that, like, I went and had a parent conference. This was when my son was in middle school, and he was kind of being 12. You know, 12-year-olds are trying to figure it out. He tripped some kid and got in trouble. And so the teacher calls me and says, hey, we need to have a parent-teacher conference. I'm like, oh, what did he do this time? You know, so he was a pretty good boy. I showed up, and the teacher immediately starts, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey. You know, and I've got that kind of voice, you know. I go, well, hey, and well, listen, if we need to have somebody else in the meeting, I go, oh, no. I go, let me help you. I'm not mad. We're on the same team. Yeah. The teacher goes, well, what do you mean? I said, what do you think needs to happen to my son for that behavior? Well, I think that he should do a work program. I said, done. What else? Well, do you want to do anything at home? And I said, what? Give me a suggestion. And the teacher's like, I've never had a parent do that with me. You know what I have? I have parents do this. How dare you treat my kid that way? How dare you do this? How dare you? And I'm like, oh, no. One, my son's behavior was bad. It needed to be corrected. Two was, we're not called to try to be the top. We're called to serve, to get in and partner with people, especially people in authority. So that's what I did. And the teacher was just shocked by it because I brought forth a humility, like, let's partner together to make this whole thing better. Now, I think this is interesting. Jesus says that meekness or gentleness, that you're going to inherit the earth. Now, the concept of inheritance, it's all over the Bible. You guys are aware of this, right? You know, he calls out Abraham, I'm going to give you an inheritance. Like the Bible says this, that people, the people of God are an inheritance. That the land that the people were going to go to, that was an inheritance. God said this, that I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. There's so much inheritance in the Bible. And when you look at it, it also means something for us. So what does it mean to inherit the earth? And what do you guys think it means? Now you watch, this is where my mind went. I started thinking like, inherit the earth. It means I'm going to have a big house. Come on, some of you thought it too, be honest. You think I'm going to inherit the earth? That means I'm going to get stuff. It's not what it means at all. Now, in fact, it doesn't, watch, let me show you what inherit means. It doesn't have anything to do with stuff. Inherit is this. It says to be an heir, to receive a portion, but the idea of it is to understand your position with who you're submitted to. So watch, you ever get around people who are meek? I have a really good pastor friend, he's a really gentle guy, he's really meek. And what's crazy about this guy, it doesn't matter where you go with him, everybody knows him, everybody loves him. And I think, man, people don't love me like they love him. You know, people love me. I'm not having a moment. Don't go there with me. I'm not. I mean, truth is, I love this guy. If I said his name, you guys would all know who he is. Many of you, he served you. Great, great man of God. And I started just thinking like, meek. Who do I know that's meek? And I think, he's meek. He's a gentle-spirited man. And this is what I thought. Why does everybody want to listen to him? I just was processing this. Why does everybody want to listen to him? And I thought this, because God has given him an inheritance. And his inheritance is authority, spiritually. This guy, when he speaks, people listen. And he's not one of those like you, if you saw, you wouldn't think like, oh, he's such a great speaker and he's such, but if you want somebody to pray for you, this is the guy you call. You want counsel? This is the guy you call. You want somebody to pray you through a situation? This is the guy you call. I mean, another friend of mine who's a fellow pastor who knows him, His statement about this guy is he's a pastor's pastor. And I said, that's the truth. And I thought, and he's one of the meekest guys I know. Just gentle-spirited, humble-hearted, not presuming, doesn't need his name, nothing like that. Doesn't need to be the front. He's very servant-hearted. See, listen, when God said this, the meek will inherit the earth, he means this. I'm going to give you authority with the stewardship of things around you. I'm going to give you authority, influence in your education with your kids. I'm going to give you influence in your workplace. Watch, not because you say, how dare you treat me like that, boss, because you say, how can I serve you? How can I make this place better? See, listen, when we're meek, they'll call us out. You know why they'll call us out? Because no one in this culture is what? Meek? No one is. But Jesus was saying, I want you to live as an opposite-spirited person. He said, blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit, listen, the authority of the influence in the earth. Jesus, when he was doing that, he was actually quoting Psalm 37. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Again, prosperity. I think, man, I'm going to get stuff. That's what a lot of us think with prosperity. If I said you're going to be prosperous, wouldn't you think money? Anybody? Help me? Yeah. You guys are quiet this morning. Talk back to me, please. Prosperity. Listen, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. Money's not mentioned. He's saying you'll have stability in your inner person for what God is doing in your life and through your life. See, we don't live like this, and I want to encourage you, this is what Jesus called us to live like. He called us to live like those who are meek. See, you know what's great about God other than everything? Everything God does is in reverse. If you want position, he says go low. You want to be blessed, he says to give. I mean, it's so counterintuitive, but when you live like God asks you to live, you live in this kind of position, this cycle of blessing. See, God will do this kind of stuff with you. He'll fill you up and make you satisfied. He'll give you what you could never earn on your own. And it's an amazing, amazing thing when you watch him do it. So when you get stuff, this is so important. Remember where it came from. See, because if you trust your stuff, you know that your stuff will deteriorate. Anybody ever got a new car and then somebody door dings it? Yeah. You're like, what the heck? It's brand new. Come on, we've all had that. Stuff gets ruined. It's just stuff. But God says, you find your place in me and you'll have stability. You'll have peace, contentment. There'll be quietness in your soul. See, listen, when you're thinking of this, when you're thinking inwardly, think like this. John 3, verse 2 says this, I pray that in all respects that you would prosper, be rich and in good health, just as your soul prospers. You know that when you have healthy inward stuff, that you live healthy outward stuff? Listen, when your mind and your will and your emotions are coming together in wholeness, you know that you treat people differently. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. And I'm going to hold this mirror up to myself, so I'm not just saying I'm not part of this. But when I watch people act kind of dumb, by the way, we all act kind of dumb sometimes, don't we? Give me an amen. Say, Pastor, I've seen you dumb. Say, Pastor, I've seen you dumb. Come on. Okay, my wife. Honey, I've seen you dumb. No, I'm just saying. Listen, we're all dumb sometimes. We just act. We're human. We're short of God's perfect work. But when we do that, we have to remember that, man, God is at work in us. And he's trying to bring out of us this spiritual life. But when we lean to ourselves, we get stuck. When we lean to ourselves, we get hung up. And he says, listen, I want you to be healthy inwardly. So when I see people emote outwardly and it's unkind, unthoughtful, mean-spirited, this is what I think. There's something broken inward. There's something unhealthy inside. I mean, I've had a lot of times, you know, how many of you guys are in a leadership role? You guys like at work, you're in a lead, and do people come after you now and again? And they just say the meanest things because you're the leader, right? Man, it's crazy. I've had some unkind things said to me in my professional life prior to being a pastor, and even as a pastor, where you're just kind of like, wow, you speak to your mother that way? You know, I'm serious. Like it's just really mean-spirited. And this is what I think. There's something broken inside. And then you know what else it does? When there's something broken inside somebody, they touch something often broken inside of you. You ever notice that? They say something, you're like, oh, no, you didn't. You know, come on, don't we do this? We do, and sometimes that's how God shapes us. But when we stay low, when we stay humble, when we stay meek, God shapes us in a different way and we respond differently. So how do we grow in meekness? See, think like this. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Remember Galatians, love, joy, peace. Yeah, gentleness. Gentleness, that's meekness. See, if we want to grow in meekness, we've got to understand this. We need more of who? God. We need more of the Holy Spirit. So listen, you guys all know that the Holy Spirit lives in you when you become a believer? Yes. Somebody say yes. Come on, help me out, church. You know that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. He lives in you. You're like, he lives in me? What part of me does he live in? You know, he lives inside you. He lives in your heart. And if you are struggling with being low, meek, satisfied, thankful, grateful, you need to say this, Holy Spirit, what? Help. Help. Build me up from the inside out. Because when you're built up on the inside, you'll live differently on the outside. Somebody should say amen to that. Amen. Because when God mends you inwardly, you live differently outwardly. And that's awesome. God will build you up from the inside because the Spirit's work is a fruitfulness that comes out of a surrendered life to him. You will not get meekness without surrender. You're like, I don't want to surrender. Ain't no one taking control of me, Pastor. That's okay. Keep running into the wall. It's okay. You know, that's the truth. If you want to grow position, authority, watch. I'll prove it to you. Some of you guys are like, oh, I don't like this preaching. Was Jesus meek?
Yes.
Did he have authority?
Yes.
Did he change the whole world?
Yes.
I'm done. Listen, Jesus was meek. Watch, let's go back to Moses, who I preached last week. Was Moses powerful?
Yes.
Was he meek?
Yeah.
God said of him, there isn't anybody more meek in the land than Moses. See, meekness, we always think meekness like that's weak, wimpy. It's not wimpy. It's understanding spiritually that you're working from a whole different place. It's growing inwardly so that when the way you live outwardly is different. See, Jesus, how did Jesus do it? Like, in other words, if Jesus was the meekest guy ever, and he was, how did Jesus do it? So this is Philippians chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to be quick. He says, have this attitude in yourselves. Look at somebody, say, you should have this attitude. Go on, look at your partner. Say, you should have this attitude. You know what? When they say it back, you're going to have to hold the mirror up because watch this. Who, although he existed in the form of God, so Jesus was God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he didn't, because, hey, we're on the same level. You and me, we're the same. He just came and said, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to consider myself low instead of high. Could Jesus have just come in and conquered everything? Yes. Answer is yes. Would he have done the Father's will had he done that? The answer is no. He did it completely different, completely opposite spirit. He said, but he emptied himself. This is known as the kenosis of Christ. Just comes from the Greek word keno. It means the self-emptying. In other words, Jesus chose to empty himself. Now, if you're in a position and you've got great authority, you're like, I ain't emptying nothing. People serving me. Come on, talk to me, church. Don't we think like that? Yeah. That's what he's saying. You want to be great, be a servant. You want to get high, go low. And Jesus said that he chose to empty himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. So instead of being God, he limited himself to being fit into a man's body, being found in the appearance of a man. Watch this. He humbled himself by being obedient. So how do you grow in meekness? Obedience, surrender, going low, to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen, can I help y'all? If you decided to die a little more often to what you want, you would have a lot less contention in your life. Now, I'm saying that because that was something God convicted me about just a couple days ago. He said, you just need to stop fighting for your rights. Just act like a dead man. Dead man don't feel anything. They just there. They're just there. He said, don't be so ready to defend. Be ready to serve. See, when we're ready to serve, we actually grow up in Christ. That's what he calls us to. And the truth is, if I were just honest, the most difficult place to do that is in your marriage. It's the most difficult place to do it. To go low within your marriage is the most difficult place to do it. And the people who are honest right now are shaking their heads. The ones who aren't are like, my marriage is perfect. You don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. The reality is this, that they're the closest people to you who can push your buttons most quickly. And you have to make a choice, say a choice, to serve them. And make a choice to serve them, even when it doesn't feel right. And when you do that, it creates reconciliation and authority in the spiritual realm. Anyway, back to what I was talking about, though. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him. So you want to go high, you got to do what? You got to go low. That's how it works. Jesus said this of himself. So if Jesus was talking about himself and he said this, and we're supposed to be disciples, those who practice Jesus's ways. That's what it being a disciple means, right? Hello, church? Yep. Yeah. All right, so you guys are like, oh, brother. Some of you guys need food or something. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. What Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke. Learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden's light. See, even Jesus said, come low, because I'm low. See, when we live like that, our lives change. But when we try to get our way, when we try to win the arguments, how many of you guys have ever won an argument and lost a relationship? Yeah. Come on, talk to me. I've won lots of arguments. Then you see them in the grocery store, and they do this. Oh, come on. Am I telling anybody the truth right now? And it's because it's awkward. We don't want to live like that. We want to be people of reconciliation. We want to be people of forgiveness. So the first thing is this. If we want to be people who walk in meekness, we have to understand that the inheritance of the earth comes with influence and authority because we go what? Low. That's what Jesus is teaching, opposite spirit. Then he goes on to talk about being satisfied. Now, satisfied for me is an interesting thing because I go to buffet and I can eat my brains out and I'm still not what? Yeah. In fact, doesn't a buffet actually kind of ruin it? Like there's so many different foods that you don't enjoy any one of them. We were talking about this yesterday. We were hanging out. We went to Donut Man. That was disgusting anyways. It was big and it was sugary. Anyways, I can go to a buffet and eat like crazy and never actually feel content.
Right. Yeah.
Too many options. Yeah. But if I just go out and get a meal, I actually feel better. Even though I like the variety, I don't ever feel good after I eat a buffet. Some of you might feel good and God bless you, but I don't. Okay, so... But satisfaction, it can be deceptive. See, satisfaction will do this. It'll make you satisfied in things that aren't from God. Like you'll get satisfied watching a job. You'll get satisfied in a house, in a car. And it's not like any of those things are evil or even bad. But you're finding satisfaction in something that isn't eternal. It's not something that's going to last. And we think a person will make us satisfied. If you get another promotion, you'll make us, you'll be satisfied. At least these are mine anyways. I thought just one more promotion and I'll be happy. It never worked. I'm not saying don't try to promote. What I'm saying is don't think that that is where satisfaction comes from. Satisfaction comes from God. Do things make you satisfied? Watch. We're all saying no, but the truth is we probably think like that more often than not. But watch what Proverbs 27:20 says this. Sheol, which is a Hebrew word for hell, in Abaddon, which is a Hebrew word for those perishing, are never satisfied. So things of the world, if you will, are never satisfied. Watch this. Nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. You ever got a bigger house and you want a bigger house?
Yeah.
You ever got a nice car and you wanted a nicer car?
Yeah.
You ever get new shoes and you want newer shoes or whatever? Or you wanted the one? We're all like that. The eyes of man are never what?
Satisfied.
So we have to check that, don't we? We do have to check that. That's actually what's going on. Jesus says this, that the kingdom is received by people who think in opposite spirits. So watch. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So as believers, righteousness satisfies, not things. So what does righteousness look like? That means like right standing with God. How many of you guys need right standing with God? Listen, when you confess Christ and you invite him to be your Lord and Savior, you are placed in right standing with God. That's called sanctification, being set apart to God. But do you know that you have to continually live that out on a day-to-day basis? Okay, I'm going to say that again. You know that you have to continually live that out on a day-to-day basis. You know why I'm saying, some of you are like, what, I have to prove to God? I got to work for it? No. See, once you're saved, you're what? You belong to him. You belong to him. Hey, listen, and when people say, well, I know people who walked with God, and then I said, they weren't really saved.
Right.
There's no way that you can touch the goodness of God and then walk away from it. There's no way. Now, I've seen people distracted. I've seen people get confused. I've seen people take the long way. Anybody ever taken the long way? Come on, yeah, come on. I know, you guys better raise your hands. You've been taking the long way. You go the long way, you're like, I'll get there eventually. It's those people who go, some point I'm going to surrender to God. You don't know that some point he might take you home. You don't know when that is. You don't want to play with that. You want to stay on the straight and the narrow with God. Hey, listen, you are made righteous, but every single day we have to choose to live what? Righteously. See, he puts the power of God in you by his Spirit so that you can live in a way that honors him and brings peace and satisfaction to your soul. That's powerful, don't you agree? And Jesus is saying this, listen, you really want to be content and happy in life? Chase after me. Listen, I can tell you, I went through a heartbreak. This was a lot of years ago, prior to meeting Heather, some stupid girl. Anyways, but it was real, and it hurt, okay? So I went through a heartache, and I remember when it happened. You know, you guys have heard my testimony. I came out of drugs and alcohol. So when my heart got broken, there was a little bit of a like, hey, should I go back there? And I thought, nah, I don't want to. I've been there, done that. That's not. So this is what I started to do. Tell me if this is a little bit like overreactive. So I normally went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I went on Wednesday night, because that was what my church had. They had a morning and night service and a Wednesday. And all three of those services had different teaching, so I was always getting a new sermon. So it's cool. Like, I'm like going up, getting a lot of Bible. So I thought, man, that's pretty good. I should go somewhere on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning. I didn't even take a day off. And I did that for like months. And I had one person say, you know, you're kind of overdoing it. And I said, well, if you were in my shoes, that is not how you would feel. Because for me, it's my option is go chase the world's way to get over this or press into God.
Right.
And what I did was I pressed into God. Now, was it a little bit over the top? 8 Bible studies in a week's a little over the top. I'm just saying. But I am saying this, though. The amount that God ministered to me and fed me and taught me in that season was remarkable. And I can say it was for this reason. I hungered and I thirsted for him. That was it. Listen, you want to grow up in Jesus? Hunger and thirst for him. You want to grow up? Hunger and thirst for him. You want to grow up? Listen, get up in the morning, crack that dusty book that you call a Bible off the nightstand, open it up. Okay, your phone. Get off of Facebook. Open your phone. It's okay. I'm coming down a little bit on the technology thing, so open your phone, okay, and read your Bible. Listen, I discovered something recently. Actually, Junior helped me discover this. How many of you guys have the YouVersion on your phone? Come on, show me. Yeah, the YouVersion. If you haven't downloaded this, you should download this. The YouVersion on your phone, you can go into plans and you can read the Bible in a year. You can read on leadership. You can read on the life of Jesus. And it's set up like 4-day thing. You get up, you push it, there's a devotional, paragraph or two. There's a scripture or two or three that you'll read behind it. It takes 10 minutes and you actually start your morning with Jesus.
Yep.
And some of you are like, oh, brother, I'm going to look at Facebook. Okay, then keep running into a wall. Have fun with that. But the reality, and listen, if you want to know how to do it, hey, Junior, I'm going to put you on point right now. You want to know how to do it? You can come talk to Junior and I after service. We'll show you it. We actually did one together. We did the plan together. You can share it with your friends, and you can do it together. You can hold each other accountable. Like, I text him, you didn't read. No, he didn't do that. he was actually ahead of me most days. But you can do it together, but it keeps you on point. It keeps you, it even sends you a reminder, hey, don't forget to read this morning. It's really, really cool. Listen, I don't know about you, but we're all what? Busy. All of us are busy. And sometimes we need those things to help us get to where we need to be. And Jesus said this, though. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. Now listen, righteousness crosses all barriers. It's important. Pay attention. This is important. Righteousness is not limited to a man or a woman. It's not limited to the rich or to the poor. It's not limited to an ethnicity, whether it's Jew or Gentile. It's not limited at all, at any level. When the Spirit of God was released in Acts, it says this. These men aren't drunk. You guys remember the Spirit of God falls and they think, oh, these people are all drinking wine at 9 in the morning. How many of you guys ever drink wine at 9 in the morning? Okay, not, let's know. Pre-Jesus, okay? Just honest, pre-Jesus, but I have. He says, these people are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. Now watch, the barriers get torn down. It shall be in the last days that I'll pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. How much mankind? How much mankind? Oh, it's not limited anywhere at all. All mankind. Your sons and your daughters, male and female, they'll prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men, so both the young and the old, will dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, those who are slaves, both men and women, I'll pour forth my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. See, listen, when you think of hunger and thirsting, think this way. In the natural sense and in the spiritual sense. When you guys are hungry, what do? You eat. When you're thirsty, what do?
Drink.
You get a drink. And when you hike with people, you go to Donut Man and you feel sick. That's for those who went with us yesterday. It was fun. But in all seriousness, see, natural hunger, it includes this, our flesh. Pay attention. What we want. You know that what you want is not always good for you. Don't always chase what your flesh is saying you need. But this is natural hunger. This is your eyes. You know, we see things and we think we need them and we want them. Pay attention to these things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You guys get me? That's where I'm going right now. Pride, what we think we're entitled to. Can I help you? You're not entitled to anything. Well, I'm a child of God. I get everything. Well, you're a child of God because you said a prayer and you said, I'm going to be low like Jesus. So why are you bucking up right now? I'm just talking to y'all. I'm serious. Like, we've lost our way as Christians. You hear what I'm saying? I'm really trying to be serious right now. We've lost our way. We forgot that we have spiritual influence when we live like Jesus. We think that we have entitlement or rights. We don't. We don't have that. We have the Spirit of God that gives us authority as we live like Jesus does. Man, is that easy to do? No, it takes daily. Why do you think I'm telling you, read your Bibles and pray? Because if Jesus doesn't help you, you won't be able to do it. How many of you guys have tried really hard? Help me out. Come on, show me some hands, church. How many of you tried really hard? Did it work?
No.
You've got to bow your heart before the living God and say, I need your help. Man, for me, usually the pride thing, it's associated with position, like I'm in charge. And it's just dangerous. Just dangerous. Spiritual hunger includes this, peace. It's peace with God and peace with others. See, when you're hungry for the things of God, you'll seek His peace. When you have His peace, you'll live in peace. Hello? Am I talking to anybody right now? Some of you are in some spots where you need peace. See, you're welcomed in God's presence, and because you're welcomed, you live as people who welcome others. Security. How many of you need to know that you're loved and accepted by God? Come on, help me out. I'm really grateful that I don't have to earn my way back to Him every single day. And that's part of spiritual hunger, that there's this security that comes. And then what about discovery, man? I love discovering new stuff about God. You ever really tried to figure out God? Anybody in the room? Help me out. Anybody? You know, you can't do it. Like, you get, like, just a little glimmer of the iceberg, and you're like, woo, I know so much about God. He's like, uh-uh. He's like, a whole bunch of ice underneath there you ain't seen yet. See, God is really, really amazing, and you only discover greater depths as you go lower. Hear what I just said? You don't listen, intellect won't do it. I'm halfway through a master's degree. I'm well read and I know the Bible pretty well. Intellect won't do it, because I know a lot about God and I still learn of him all the time. All the time. So that comes out of surrender. It comes out of a position of heart that says, I need you and I depend on you and I want you. You don't get it through intellect. Intellect is not bad, but it doesn't make you saved. And it doesn't mean you know Jesus deeply because you know about him. It's when you actually know him that it makes a difference. Man, just the freedom to discover him, to learn and grow. He said, blessed are those who hunger, to be hungry, watch, to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire. Man, when was the last time you chased God as much as you did a cheeseburger? I'm being serious. Because if you haven't eaten for a few days, you're going to go find yourself some food. But man, we can go weeks without eating spiritual food and not think anything of it. It's the truth. And it's very, very sad, actually. And I'm talking to myself, too. Because there's times you can put it on cruise control. Like, you can quote a verse in the middle of the day and not have Jesus in it at all. Hello? Anybody listen to me right now? Because this is important what I'm saying. You can have the Bible because you memorized it, but it's not God's manna for the day. It's not his voice and his word to you for today. And you ever leaned into yesterday's manna? Come on, help me out, church. You ever gone from yesterday's knowledge? Yes. By the way, you know that manna got rotten the next morning?
Yes. Right.
That's kind of the point that I'm making. Sometimes we lean into yesterday's information when God is doing something new today. It doesn't mean that yesterday's was bad, but it might not mean that's what he's doing today. You got to seek him every day. You got to walk with him every day. And we're so blessed that we get to do that. We get to do that. We're not forced to do that. He invites us to do that. Listen, none of us is perfect. Somebody say amen. Look at your partner, say, you're close. Go on, tell him you're close, but you ain't perfect. Go on, tell him you're close. Man, we just have to remember that when we hunger, we get the promises of God. See, you got to think of that verse as a promise. Those who hunger get what? Satisfied. It's a promise. God says, I'll bless you if you'll hunger after me. So listen, we all have ways that we can do things, all have ways that we approach things, and we've all got to decide this, is Jesus more important than all the other stuff? Okay, then what are the steps, watch, what are the steps each of us needs to make to put that front and center? What's the steps that we need to make sure that he's first and not second, third, fifth, seventh? You hear what I'm saying? You've got, time is like, ding, 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 ding. Time is it, man. You don't give time to God, you're stuck. You're stuck. If you don't find a man, listen, even if it's only a few minutes, find some what?
Time.
Find some time. Let him fill your tank, whatever euphemism you want to use for how you meet with God, let him fill you up. Let him satisfy you. Because when he satisfies you, you'll live differently. Watch, just be honest with me. By show of hands, how many of you guys are in a difficult spot that you need God's wisdom in right now? Come on, show of hands. Okay, yeah, every day I got somebody honest. That's really honest. I love it. Every day. How many of you would like God to say, this is how to handle this situation? Just go sit with him in the morning and he'll talk to you. Man, I can't, man. You guys don't even know. I mean, if you climbed in my head, you'd be like, I'm not following that pastor, because sometimes it's crazy. I'm just telling you the truth. There are times I've thought like the craziest things. And then I sit down like I do, and I open up my Bible, and I start reading, and God says, do this. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like a very good idea to me. And he says, if you do that, I'll bless it. That sounds like a pretty good idea to me. You get what I'm saying? And then you do it his way, and you watch it what? Watch it work. Listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. Sometimes I'm actually quite stupid. But I'm smart enough to open the book. I'm smart enough to try to listen. I don't always follow it. I don't want to, like, I'm not perfect. He ain't done with me yet. Not even close. But I do try to seek and listen so that when I get in the middle of those things, I mean, I've been really praying ardently about something in me right now. Whoo, just praying, because I'm like, God, this has to change. This has to change. The way that I perceive, this has to change, God. And this is what I know. That sense of desperation in God, he's going to change it. You know why I know that? Because when I've done that other times with him, he's changed it. So listen, this is what I want to do. I want to wrap up right now, but some of you, as I said at the beginning of the service, you're going to need prayer, because what's going on inside of you is bigger than you're able to conquer. So listen, I want them to take the lights down. I was going to chase you out of the room, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to let some of you receive from God right now. If you're on the ministry team, why don't you sneak out, get on up here. And Kevin, why don't you come on up? You can give us a little, we're going to create a little ambiance for you, just because it's nice when we're worshiping and inviting you to receive from God. I was just going to close, and I just really felt a check in my heart. So you, listen, if you need to go, I love you. You can sneak out. I would encourage you not to, because this is, you know, we're not super late, but we're not early either. Listen, just bow your heads with me. I just want you to listen. I want you to tune to the best of your ability, your ears to heaven right now. I want you to tune and try to just listen to how the Spirit of God speaks to you. And just to qualify that, when I say Spirit of God speaks to you, sometimes God will talk, like you'll hear him. You'll get that sense, that inner, that gentle spirit that speaks in you. Sometimes he'll work in your conscience. You just know, like you feel that tug of war going on in your heart. Like, I don't want to give that thing up. And God says, I need you to give that up. Listen, some of you are sitting in the room right now, and if you were really, really honest, you'd say, man, not only am I not satisfied, I'm actually dissatisfied. I'm actually struggling in my heart to believe that God is for me. And as far as like that whole hunger and thirsting for righteousness, now I just kind of think that God should do it. He should just fix it. Listen, and some of you in the room, you're struggling with real stuff. You're struggling with addiction. You're struggling with alcohol. You're struggling with drugs. You're struggling with pornography. You're struggling with real stuff, real struggles, not easy struggles, real struggles, difficult struggles to get past. And the people around you, they love you. They're praying for you. They're encouraging you. They're trying to help you. But you know what? At the end of the day, it is your heart surrendered to Jesus that changes it all. Other people cannot pray. They pray you into the kingdom, but ultimately you bow your heart. You surrender. You go low so that Jesus can lift you high. So as you're listening right now, what's he saying to you? Is he saying, come get filled up? You need more of my spirit? Is he saying, come repent? Because you've been living in a way that I don't approve? Is he saying, just bow, make me Lord? Is he saying, you just want more? You want more? You want more? Come get filled up? What's he saying to you? Because this is what I know. Moments like this is when God changes lives. It's how it works. He brings us face to face with ourselves, with our shortcomings, with our desires, and all of those things collide all together so that God can release your destiny. That's how it works. And the sooner you bow your heart, the sooner he touches and releases. So Holy Spirit, I want to pray over us right now. Just ask for your grace. God, none of what I said is intended from my heart at any level to be condemning or shameful or anything like that. It's really an encouragement, a pathway to release, a pathway to your heart. And God, I truly don't know why we're always trying to run from the thing that we need, but I know we do. So God, I pray for courage right now and grace and freedom. God, I pray for those that are sitting in the seat and they're honest with themselves and they're like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. God, I pray that you give them the courage to just come get some prayer and let somebody believe for them beyond their circumstance where they're sitting right now. And God, for those who are like, I just want more, God, I pray as they come get prayer that those who hunger and thirst, your word declares that they would be filled. So listen, let's do this. Let's all stand together. Let's sing this song together as Kevin leads us. Now, if that is you, if you're in the room and you need prayer, get out of your seat right now. Come on up and let one of these folks pray for you. Don't hesitate. One song. One song. Come on up.
is healing hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. We pour.
going to keep the altar open a few more minutes, but I want to dismiss you. So, Lord, we are just really grateful that we can worship together. And God, I pray that all of our satisfaction would be found in you. So, God, for those who will exit the door, I pray that they would go with your presence. And those who still need to receive, I pray that they just stay here and stay in your presence. And God, we want to say thank you that we can gather to worship and seek you and find you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.